Good afternoon, everybody. Today we have Sato from Google. He's going to give us his presentation on TensorFlow on the wild. I hope you all enjoy it. Feel free to ask questions during the presentation, but we also have a Q&A session at the end as well. Okay, here we go.
Thank you for taking the time for my question, TensorFlow on the wild. I'm Sato, I'm the Docker Advocate from Google Graph Platform team. I'm focusing on data and analytics products such as BigQuery, which is a data warehouse service, TensorFlow, which is an open source machine learning library from Google, and other machine learning products. I have been working in Google for 6 years, and started working on the Google Cloud 4 years ago. And I'd like to start with the recap of what is machine learning and what is neural network. So there has been many buzzwords such as AI, ML, or neural network deep learning. And I'd like to briefly discuss what are the differences between those buzzwords. Artificial intelligence or AI, there's no clear definition about the term, but you can say that it's a science to make things smart, like building an autonomous driving car, or letting the computer composing a music, or drawing a beautiful picture. Those things are maybe a smart thing to do with computer processes. And one way to realize those AI smart things is to use machine learning, which is a technology to have computers learning from the real world data or real world rules. And there are so many different algorithms you can try with machine learning. And one of them is the neural network. And we have been seeing a huge booming or a breakthrough happening in the world of neural network technologies since 2012. And Google has been spending a lot of time and cost on developing the neural network technologies for the last 4 or 5 years. And what is neural network? Actually, how many people have tried neural networks by yourself? Oh, maybe 5 or 6. Neural networks, you can think it's just like a function in mathematics or a function in programming language. So you can put any kind of data, for example, in this case, it's an image of cat or dog, and convert it into a vector, or sometimes we call it a tensor. Tensor means that just a multidimensional array, but just a bunch of numbers. Convert the indicator into a bunch of numbers, and have the neural network recognize data. And you would get another bunch of numbers with the tensor as an output where it would have a radio such as a cat or dog. So you can train the neural networks to recognize the images as a cat or dog or human face to our. It's just a, what example of the neural network. But the thing is that you can apply the technology to any kind of the data you have, business data, or you can set the spark data. So for example, if you have your own gaming server, which has like 10 to 7 game players on it, you can try converting the already user activities of player activities on the gaming server, convert it into a vector as a feature vector, and try using neural networks to extract some, do some smart things like classifying certain types of the players. For example, if you are being annoyed by a cheating player who are using the automated script to write to do a cheating on the game server, you can try using the neural networks to train the model, train the neural network model to classify which player would be a cheating player. Or maybe you can use the neural networks to classify the premium player who could be buying more and more items for your service. This is just one example of the possible thousands of the applications. So thing is, you can try applying the neural network technologies to solve your own problem, business problem. And neural network is just a bunch of the very simple math. It's just a bunch of multiplication and addition between the numbers, vectors, or matrix, or tensors. So you can just multiply the input data with the parameters, so-called weights part of the initial result is outstanding. And let's take a look at the actual demonstration of neural networks by using this very simple data set called double spiral, where we have two inputs, one is x1 and another is x2. And if you plot data points on the 2D space, you can see that there are some patterns in the data. There are two spirals, which is called double spiral data pattern. One is the orange spiral and another is the blue spiral. And for humans, it's really easy to understand that classify the two data sets. Because if you have a new data point here, you can easily say that's going to be in a blue spiral. If you get a point in here, it would be in the orange field. But if you are a programmer, what kind of program do you write to classify a new data point into a blue or into blue or orange? Maybe the easiest or maybe most naive way to implement that is to write that maybe hundreds of the input statement is conditional to the threshold, checking whether the data point is in this area, data point is in this area. So you can, you know, split the entire data set into many different areas to check whether a new data point is in a certain area or not. But it's too naive way. And if your data set changes its patterns, then you have to build, rewrite your programs from scratch.
So instead of doing that, I would use the neural networks. So let me actually run the demonstration. This is a demonstration called TensorFlow Playground, where anybody can use your browser to build up your neural network model, just by combining the Lego bricks and the run the training based on the training data set. Here we have two inputs, x1 and x2, and we have three layers of neural network, and we have an output neuron here that tries to classify a data point should be in orange or blue. And this is the training data set. So let me start training the model. So when you just started the training of the model, any machine learning model or neural network model doesn't make sense on the data set at all. So now it thinks the
data points in the upper area should be in orange, and data point in this area, these areas should be in blue. It doesn't work. But if you keep saying more computing power, and if you keep providing the training data set, then computer gradually tries to capture any features or patterns hidden inside the data set. And once you have finished the training, the neural network can extract the very complex patterns inside the data set. And if you take a closer look at what each neuron is doing inside the neural network, each neuron is doing very simple classification. For example, this particular neuron just draws a straight line. It is called a linear classification. So this neuron only draws a straight line to classify the data points in a lower area or upper area. Again, this neuron just classifies the data points is in a left area or right area. So it's very simple linear classification. But if you have a bunch of these simple neurons, and if you have some layers of those neurons, then very interesting thing is happening. The neurons in the second layer can combine all the outputs from the neurons in the first layer to compose a much complex patterns. So you can see the neurons is getting a little bit smarter that can capture a little bit complex patterns from the data set. The neurons in the third layer can compose very complex patterns like this. And the neurons in the final output layer is smart enough to recognize very complex double spiral pattern, just like humans. So this is how neural network works. Neural networks can be trained to capture a hidden data patterns in the data set. And the most important point here is that I haven't programmed
the neural network at all. I have just specified the number of the neurons and number of layers and what kind of the activation function you would use, and that's it. So you don't have to write any lines of the Python or Java code to specify the behavior of the neural network. Instead, you can let the computer think it by itself how to solve each problem by looking at the data set. And by using this technology, you can have computer recognize the decision that the cat by using so-called deep neural network. Deep neural network has a tenet of the hidden layers or intermediate layers between the interpretation of the data. In productions at Google, we usually use the deep neural networks with 20, 30, or sometimes 80 layers between the interpretation and the data for the image recognition. And by having that kind of very deep layers in that neural networks, you can train the neural networks to be able to recognize very complex pattern like this. The neurons in process of the data should be trained to recognize very simple patterns with the edge of objects. And neurons in the middle region can recognize the texture of the image. Neurons in the higher layer can recognize a part of the objects like eyes or tire or people. Neurons in the last layer can recognize the whole of the people or the flower, the waiting time. So that's a very, very quick brief of the how deep learning on neural network works and how Google has been using the technologies for implementing our own services. Actually, we are using the deep learning for over 100 production projects for the past few years. If you are using Google Search every day, then you are accessing the deep learning technologies from Google every day. Because we have introduced the RankBrain. RankBrain is a deep learning based ranking algorithms introduced in 2015. And there are many other projects as well as various email from Google. They are all using deep learning. In addition to the traditional machine learning algorithms, Google Photo is one of the most successful mobile applications that introduced machine learning or deep learning. So you don't have to put any metadata or have to reach photos taken by smartphones anymore. Instead, you can have the smartphone recognizing the content of the image. Smart Reply is a feature in the inbox application that shows us options to reply to email. No plan here, I just the options to reply to the email flag. So if you can just select the one of those options to reply to each email flag, and now the over 12% of the all responses set up on the mobile application is generated by the neural network. So now the emails are written by the AI, not the humans anymore. You are just approving your emails. Google Translate recently introduced a new neural machine translation model that improves the accuracy, especially the fluency of the translation quality significantly. And these are the production projects and other research projects. For example, DeepMind team in the Alphabet company released a WaveNet, which is a neural network for synthesized voice. But what I am so surprised is that on their WaveNet blog post, you can see many other samples when you are using the WaveNet for synthesizing any other kind of sounds. So if you go to the blog post of the WaveNet, there are many samples for the by the WaveNet for human voice synthesized, but I'd like to play the other sample, which is classical piano music. This is a sample audio generated by the WaveNet model by training the model by using the classical piano music. Thank you. And usually, if you hear the, this kind of digital audio sound, usually most of these sounds are made using the technique called sampling. That means the you can the, split the digital audio data, like the sound of the piano, into a single note by using the sampling. But the sound you just heard is not sampling. The sound you just heard didn't exist in the real world until the wavelength generated from scratch. So what I'm so surprised to see this announcement is that they are not using any sampling or they are not using any model for synthesizing the human voice or the piano or the acoustic instrument audio. Instead, they are using the ordinary convolutional neural network. And that is playing with the real world audio data and generates the additional data bit by bit at 60 kilohertz sampling rate. So this is not a sampling. That means there's no playback order for the high quality piano music you just heard. And you can generate this sound infinitely without paying any money. And also Google Brain recently announced that you can apply the deep neural network technology for the medical applications such as finding a diabetic disease by looking at the images of the bottom of the eyeballs. And the performance is better than the average doctors. Yeah, image recognition is one of the most promising area for the neural networks. DeepMind team also did the awesome job inside Google last year, which is an optimization of the cooling resource allocation inside Google data center. In single Google data center, we have tens of thousands of the servers in the building, and we have a huge cooling systems. And we have been using human operations to optimizing resource allocation for the cooling systems. But DeepMind team was able to replace the human operation with the automation by the deep neural network model by taking all the tens of the signals from the IoT sensors, like the temperature sensors, or weather data, or the how the power plant is working next to the Google data center, and put those kind of the tens of the IoT sensor data into the neural network model to control the resource allocation so that they were able to achieve the 40% reduction on the energy consumption. And that resulted in a 50% increase on PUE or power usage effectiveness on a single entire data center. Because Google has been spending so much money on the power consumption of data center, this is really a great achievement for us. So as I mentioned, we have been using deep learning technologies for over 100 production projects. And we are using a single open source framework to achieve these outstanding results, that is TensorFlow. TensorFlow is the latest machine learning framework we have been using for building our machine learning based applications and services, and we have open sourced it in November 2015. This is not something outdated or old in Google. This is the latest technologies we're using inside Google, yeah, and we have open sourced it. And one benefit you could get with TensorFlow is easy to develop the neural network. Until a few years ago, or maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it's really hard to get started with neural network technologies. When you open the textbook for the neural networks, you will see many mathematical equations on that, and you have to understand the mathematical model and implement your own neural network algorithms, such as the gradient descent optimization or backpropagation or automatic differentiation, things like that. And I myself cannot do that. I didn't have any math background. But instead, I can just download TensorFlow and like a single line of Python code, like gradient descent optimizer.
So those TensorFlow encompasses all of those sophisticated related mathematical algorithms, optimization algorithms such as gradient descent, or algebra, anything. You can just specify what kind of the algorithms you want to use, and you don't have to implement your own back propagation or the gradient descent. So, and also it's portable and scalable. So once you have defined your neural network model by downloading the TensorFlow sample code to your Mac or Windows, then you will find the your CPU running on your Mac or Windows is not powerful enough to do more serious things like recognizing your cat image. So you want to use GPU, which is provides you 10 times or 50 times faster performance of 20 in your network. But if you want to bring the technology into production, like we do, then one GPU is not enough. Many people are using tens of GPUs or hundreds of GPUs, but they power on the cloud environment. But still, you don't have to write a rewrite major part of the TensorFlow code you have been writing. TensorFlow code is actually a defined graph, computation graph, for your neural network calculation. That is designed to be scalable, so you can just use the same TensorFlow graph running on a single GPU, multiple GPUs, or the TensorFlow processing, which is a specific edit that designed by Google. I'm talking about the GPU. And after finishing the training of the neural networks, usually if it's a serious, for example, image recognition model, it will take a few days, sometimes with a single GPU. Then the model, it's just a bunch of numbers, as I showed on the demonstration, it's just a bunch of weights. Usually it consists of the 100 megabytes of data. That could be copied onto the smaller devices, such as the Android, iOS, or Raspberry Pi. For using the neural network for the prediction for inference, such as recognizing an object in an image, or recognizing certain patterns from the IoT sensor data, to detect whether the certain device is going to be failing or something like that. And again, it's portable, TensorFlow is portable, so we provide a sample code that could be running on the Android or iOS as a mobile phone application, or the applications running on the Raspberry Pi. So you can easily convert the same model from the cloud environment for on-premise devices to the embedded system for smartphones. So we also provide something, a nice debugging tool or visualization tool that allows you to take a look inside into the what's going on inside the neural network and when it gets there. And we recently, in last February, we announced TensorFlow 1.0. Right now, TensorFlow is the latest version of TensorFlow 1.1, which features the performance and flexibility and the production ready quality. It's much faster when you're running the training, so it is the tens of GPUs, much faster. And it provides higher level interfaces. I'll be showing the demonstrations. In the last 2 years, since we launched the GPU, you have to write the tens of lines of Python code to define your neural network. But right now, you only have to write a few lines of Python code to define a deep neural network model. I will show you the demonstration. That is called high-level API. And now this API is stable, so there will be no breaking changes, so it's ready to be deployed in production. So these layers called Python or C++ Python, that have been so-called low-level API we have been supporting. But now we have the higher layers such as Estimator, or Keras is another higher-level API we support. Keras is the one of the most popular, easy to use the API or framework for deep learning developers. And now we support Keras as the standard API. So TensorFlow 1.1 is compatible with Keras. So if you have been using Keras, you can easily convert your own existing code on Nourish, running with the TensorFlow 1.1.
Let me show some demonstration of the TensorFlow. Here I'd like to use a sample code classified in Manhattan. By using Cloud Data Lab. Google Cloud Data Lab is the IPython notebook or Jupyter. How many people are using IPython or Jupyter? Not so many people, 5 or 6 people. Yeah, Jupyter, or as known as the IPython notebook, is one of the most popular the environment for data scientists right now. It's, you can use the browser to write your own Python code running inside browser. Actually, it is running on your local runtime or the runtime on the cloud. To execute the data analysis by using Scikit-learn or SciPy, NumPy, things like that. And we have integrated the IPython notebook or Jupyter notebook into Google Cloud environment so that you can easily run TensorFlow or the Google BigQuery, which is the data warehouse running on cloud, integrated with the Jupyter. So I can show how it could be easy for you to extract the bunch of data from the data warehouse and do the pre-processing on it and process it, do the data analytics with TensorFlow. And this sample is trying to train the neural network model to be able to classify whether a geolocation is in Manhattan or not. It's a very simple sample. So at first, I'd like to extract all the training data from the BigQuery, which is a data warehouse. BigQuery has many public data sets, and one of the public data sets is the NYPD collisions that collects all the collisions, the car accidents happening inside New York City. And actually, in these demonstrations, we don't care about the accidents. We care about whether each location, the latitude and longitude, is in the Manhattan or not. So let's take a look at what kind of the data we are using for the training. So by using the Cloud Data Lab, you can directly execute the SQL from the web browser like this. So this data is directly taken from the BigQuery. On Google data set right now. So as you can see, the rows has timestamp and borrow, latitude and longitude, and we'll be using this data as a training data set. And by using BigQuery, you can easily do the pre-processing on the training data against the tens of terabytes of data in tens of seconds. Because each single SQL running on BigQuery uses 1,000 to 2,000 CPU cores simultaneously. It executes every query as a massively powerful processing query. So it's super fast. And yet it's so cheap. It's a very cheap, cheaper than, it costs only 1/3 of the cost of the other competitors, competing products. And here I'd like to execute another SQL that has more conditions for the pre-processing. So, for example, we don't care about any rows that doesn't have any latitude and longitude. And I wanted to add an isEmpty flag to indicate whether each location is in Manhattan or not. And I wanted to shuffle the data and extract the first 10,000 rows. And by using Cloud Data Lab, you can easily write a Python code inside the browser that can execute a BigQuery query inside it and extract the data as a NumPy array. NumPy is the most popular library for the numerical operations, the mathematic operations inside the Python. And you can also execute the NumPy processing, such as the printing the data set like this easily. And now I'm executing SQL inside the Cloud Data Lab to extract the training data set from BigQuery, convert it into the NumPy array running on Python environment. So you got it? So there is one array, NumPy array, which has the all the East Manhattan flags on it. And there's a bunch of the pairs of the long latitude and longitude. We have 10,000 rows. So we'll be using this dataset as a training dataset. And how does it look? So if you're using the popular matplotlib, the library for the plotting the dataset, you can easily visualize the data you have. So you can see the shape of the Manhattan if you plot into the 2D space after scaling. And you can even find there's a central park inside the Manhattan area. So this is the training data set. So we are splitting the data into a training data and testing data. And we define a neural network here. So this shows how it is easy to define your neural network by using TensorFlow. So you are importing the TensorFlow library. This is designed to define neural networks. You can just specify DNN class value to keep the so-called estimators we have introduced at the end, TensorFlow 1.0. So now you don't have to apply tens of lines of Python code anymore. You can just apply single line of Python code. To define a deep neural network classifier is a 14 layer. Each layer has 20 nodes, 20 neurons inside the subset. Ah, yeah, that's a great question. And those numbers like how many layers, how many neurons, is so-called hyperparameters. Parameters that could not be trained by using the data set. Humans have to take care of the defining. Luckily, there's no mathematical theory to find the optimal combination of the hyperparameters. So what everybody's doing, including Google or any other big players, they are just trial and errors. By using the methods that function like methods like random search or quick search, inside Google, we are using a more smarter way, like a Gaussian process, which tries to find the best way for the trials. So I have just defined a new DNN classifier. And before starting the training the neural networks, I'd like to visualize how stupid it is before training. So before start training neural networks, because neural networks usually initialize with the random parameters. So now the model thinks this part would be the Manhattan. So it is not working yet. But if you start training the model by putting the training dataset taken from the big query, you'll be seeing gradually neural networks can be get smarter to be able to classify the dataset at high accuracy. So you can see, gradually, it's getting better and better. It's much better. So this is the final result. So
you can see, still the things are very tiny part of the looking at the Manhattan, but still it works that the 99.85% accuracy. So this is how TensorFlow works
in combination with the other cloud services such as BigQuery and Cloud Data Lab. And also, by using TensorFlow, you can get a large benefit from the community and ecosystems. TensorFlow is now the most popular library for deep learning in the world. By comparing the GitHub start count, TensorFlow is far beyond the other competitors like the Hackathon, Carpe, and in Japan, we have the large user group already. We have over 2,600 members in the user group, and we have one or two meetups every month
Including your Tokyo office and later. Each time we have over 300 registrations. It's so. And also there are many companies who are using the technology, they use TensorFlow for production use cases for PLC, such as Airbus, ARM, Intel, Qualcomm, Twitter, Snapchat. And Qualcomm is one of the partners we have for the TensorFlow ecosystems. They recently announced the support for TensorFlow by using the DSP, or Digital Signal Processor, which is a core processor running inside your smartphones, on their latest Snapdragon chipset. And what does it mean? I'd like to show the demonstration. So to learn, use the neural network model, you have to spend much computing power, even for the prediction or inference. Training takes so much computing power, but prediction or using the neural networks still consumes so much computing power. For example, if you are running the ordinary CPU or ARM processor inside smartphones, it takes about 2 seconds to recognize an object in the image. You can see that at the left side. So at the left side, if you put a new teddy bear, it takes about 2 seconds to get the teddy bear label at the top. If you put banana, it takes about 2 seconds to get the banana label at the top. But if you take a look at the result on the right side, by using the digital signal processor running in your smartphone, then you can get, because DSP is designed for the to calculate a bunch of the multiplication and additions in fast, so fast. So you can get the result within 120 milliseconds or something like that. It's 15 times or 20 times faster than CPU. And you are not consuming any CPU cycle while you are using DSP. So if you want, you're really serious about bringing the technology into your smart mobile applications, you have to get the benefits from the hardware acceleration provided by the TensorFlow partners. And by using the ecosystem community, you can have the real world solutions from the TensorFlow technologies. And we call it as a democratization of machine learning. That means you don't have to be a cutting edge data scientist, or you don't have to be a machine learning expert to get started with the technologies. For example, there are cucumber farmers in Japan. I took these photos. I visited their cucumber farm, and they have a son, Makoto-san. He started helping his parents cucumber farming 2 years ago. And what he found out is that the most serious threat for cucumber farmers is crash time in 2009 crisis. His mother spent 8 hours a day to crash by each cucumber into 9 different classes. By looking at the cucumber's shapes and colors and lengths, so what he did is downloaded TensorFlow and took a 9,000 photograph for each cucumber and trained the TensorFlow model to build his own cucumber classifier sorter. So this is the real sorter he built. He spent only $1,500 with Arduino and Raspberry Pi to build his own cucumber sorter. And for every 9,000 photos, pictures of the cucumbers, he put the labels put by his mother with the 9 different classes. So in Japan, farmers has been using the deep learning. So every developer should be able to use the technologies right now. Also, there's another very interesting use case of TensorFlow, which is a bright kindergarten server. This is built by a company called ROP, application startup for the robotic arms.
So they are a company focusing on the robotics arm, so they are not the machine learning or deep learning expert. But they had an intern student who was so interested in using the TensorFlow. So the student downloaded TensorFlow and built this demonstration in 10 days. and they cooked the hundreds of chicken nuggets by themselves and taken the photographs, hundreds of them, and they trained the TensorFlow model to recognize the position of the chicken nugget on the plate. So you can just hire an intern student to build this. You don't have to spend like millions of dollars. This is not a very interesting use case. These are the faces of dolls and TV boxes in Japan, but they are all virtual dolls. There's no photographs for the existing doll or thing. And what he did, actually he's another amateur developer. He just started downloading or learning TensorFlow, and deep learning by downloading TensorFlow. And what he did is he collected 10,000 pictures of the TV boxes in Japan, and using the TensorFlow model to extract the features, things like the shapes of the eyes or eyeballs, nose and mouth, from those training data sets, and generated unique images that does not exist in the training data set. So these are all unique images that does not exist in the real world. They are innovative. And also, again, there's no copyright for the also high quality doll images. So you can generate these kinds of images infinitely.
And there are so many other interesting use cases, so I'll be skipping, but some people are building a garbage can that can classify the garbage by using TensorFlow and Raspberry Pi and many other things. But if you are really serious about bringing technology into the enterprise or production, you have to face with the challenge, which is the computing power. GPU takes a few days or a few weeks to finish the training of the large models. So that's the reason why we have been using the computing power inside Google Cloud, which has the tens of thousands of the GPU servers. And also we have the fastest network in the world, that is called Jupyter. We are not buying any commodity network switches anymore from Cisco or Juniper. We are building our own network switch fabric from scratch. And also today we announced a new second generation tensor processing unit, which is an ASIC or custom-made LSI designed for just for running a TensorFlow or neural network computation. We have a bunch of the teams for designing the hardware chips, and this second generation TPU can yield 180 teraflops per chip. And this is far beyond the latest TPUs you can buy in the market. And by using those hardware support and the network infrastructure in the Google Cloud, you can get the much, much better training speed or inference speed. For example, if you can use the 50 GPUs on the cloud, you can shorten the training time for the image recognition to 1/40. But why people are using a few days or a few weeks for training their neural network model, engineers in Google only spend a few tens of minutes to train their models. So that's the huge difference we have.
And we are externalizing these technologies to outside developers and customers. That is called machine learning engine or ML engine. So all you have to do is define your own TensorFlow graph by using your laptop, anything, and upload your TensorFlow graph and training dataset on Google Cloud, where we provide fully managed distributed training and prediction service with tens of GPUs. And lastly, I'd like to show some interesting use cases of your ML engine, including the AXA insurance company and QP. QP is a major food manufacturer in Japan, and they have been trying to find bad potatoes on their belt conveyors in their factory. And the dedicated systems that cost the hundreds of thousands of dollars didn't work. So what they did is worked with a partner who are knowledgeable about TensorFlow, and they built a POC systems running inside their factory that can detect the bad potatoes, the potatoes with the bad colors and shapes. You can hear the sound. That's like Super Mario. So this Super Mario-like sound indicate the position of the bad potatoes coming on your belt conveyors. So before having these systems,
still be hard to hire many people, tens of people, just watching the potatoes on the belt conveyors all the day. Because Kirby is known as the high quality food manufacturer, their potatoes usually doesn't have any bad potatoes at all. So the old people have to be so intense, you know, intensely watching on the belt conveyor all the day. This is a hard work. But after introducing the TensorFlow model, you know, all they have to do is just picking up the bad potatoes only when it rings the bell. So it's light work. AXA is one of the largest global insurance company in France, and they are trying to use machine learning to find large loss cases. Large loss means a driver who could cause a large car accident that requires over $10,000 of insurance payment. And the traditional machine learning algorithms didn't work, but when they applied the TensorFlow neural network model to these problems, they were able to achieve 70% accuracy for classifying a driver who has a high possibility of making the large loss cases. So what they did is they extracted the 70 different features of drivers, like a location of driver, what kind of car they are driving, what is the past accident history of drivers, and converted those features into vectors, a bunch of numbers, and using neural networks to classify whether the drivers could cause a large accident or not. Another use case is the Auctnet, which is a real-time car auction service in Japan. But for them, it's so tedious task to put each car into an auction, because you have to take 20 different images and put the tag on all images. So they decided to build their own systems for classifying the photographs by using TensorFlow. So if you are uploading the image of cars like this, then the TensorFlow model running on the system is now doing classifications, whether the image is part of the car, like a wheel or the panel or side view, rear view, and eventually it can recognize the car make, the model of the car. And also you can get the estimated used car price for each model. So it's coming now. Got it. So you got the exact car model. It must be a Toyota Land Cruiser. And also you don't have to put the tags by yourself. The systems can put the tags. And you can see, by using deep learning model, you can tell the very subtle difference, such as the difference between the front seat and rear seat. And system is in already production since last December. So that's the technologies we are providing.
We have many different products that support the machine learning. The TensorFlow is the core of the all the machine learning technologies. This is an optical spot, but it's more easier for you to using the commercial fully managed services such as the ML engine for running your TensorFlow model, so that you can easily extract the data from Google Graph to the query and apply some ETL processing with the data flow from MapReduce or Spark, and put them on the machine learning where you can extract the intelligence from the data. So that's it. Thank you so much.